Okay, everybody, good news, everyone. This is week 9 on the Epistles of John. I'm expecting to finish 1 John today, so that's good. That's my friend Professor Farnsworth telling everybody that there's good news. And we chose this because, today's message is called Believe. We chose the name Good News, Everyone, because as we'll see in a second, John is sharing with us the same gospel, good news equals gospel, that he shared in his Gospel of John, and it's in the first Epistle of John. It's the same message, it's the same writer, same man giving us the same story. And yesterday at Jude's birthday party, someone came up to me and said, "Pastor, do you preach faith?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to preach it tomorrow." This morning, someone came up to me and said, well, not someone, it was Elsie. And she said to me, "Are you going to preach faith this morning?" And I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "Good, because I've got something to say about faith." I thought that was quite remarkable, really. That's the sort of thing that Jonathan does a lot, actually. He's very like that with his songs. When he's putting a set together, we get an awful lot of exact quotes from the sermon half an hour before you hear it. But we thank God that we believe. Do you believe this morning?
Yes.
Have we any believers in the house?
Yes,
we believe. We believe. Well, we are going to believe because in John 1 John 5, it said, who is it that overcomes the world? Is it Caesar's army, the most dominant army on earth? No. Is it the kingdom of God getting people to sign up and giving them guns and getting them marching? No, it isn't that either. I'll tell you what it is. It's our faith that overcomes the world. It isn't actually our Jesus. It's our faith. It certainly isn't our pastor. It's our faith that overcomes the world. So believing is quite important. So far we've seen the consistency of John's message between the gospel and the epistle. We've had a lot of talk of agape love. 3 times he's visited agape love and told us that it's the very essence of God's nature. We've been reminded that victory is ours if we rely on his strength and keep his word in us. And we're going to see a bit more how faith activates that in a moment. We've learned that this world is passing away. It is. But Jesus will return. MacArthur said, when he had to leave the territories in the Second World War in the Pacific, he said, "I will return." It's one of the most famous quotes in the last 100 years. And you know what? He did. Well, I would have never have put money on MacArthur, but I'll tell you what, I'd lay my life down for Jesus, and he says he will return. That as we follow Jesus's commands, they are not burdensome, and as we keep ourselves pure, we will be ready for his return. Yeah? So is this all remember? This is coming back to you. This is what we've said previous weeks. We've been told to recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood, and we said last week that love results in propitiation. That's atoning sacrifice for our sins, and it frees us from judgment. Okay, that's the recap. Now, today, I want to get us thinking about faith overcoming the world. Faith overcomes. If I was to be a wicked man and produce a gun and shoot it in the air and then point it at you and say, "Now do exactly what I said," most of you would scream, and then some of the women might scream as well. Thank you for getting that. But that would not overcome you. Some of you might lose bladder control. Incidentally, when you watch a movie, when someone does this as a terrorist attack, you never see evidence of loss of bladder control, do you? I'm sure that would happen in real life. I've always said to my wife, if we ever get stuck in a lift, I think the first job when you get stuck in a lift is to designate which corner is the toilet. It's just a thought. Now, what we have to recognise is this, that John tells us that when we believe God's commands through Jesus, when we believe, when we make a choice to believe, faith is not something you're born with. It's not something you inherit from your mum and dad. If I'd have depended on that, I'd be a pagan. But if faith is a choice, then today I am choosing to believe. And I'm bringing my umbrella with me, because this is a choice I am making. I am staking my colours to the mast, and it's because I choose to believe Jesus. But God's commands are liberating. This is something I've never really understood, is that people say to me, oh, it must be awful being a Christian, all those commands to follow. Those commands are liberating. They set me free. They give me boundaries in my life. They help me know when not to cross into another field where there might be a bull. The boundaries that God establishes in his commands are absolutely wonderful. So choose to believe the commandments. And I have to say to you today, if there is one thing I want you to take away and chew on, it's this. Will you choose to believe the commandments? You see, Jesus said, actually, it all boils down to two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and your neighbour as yourself. And Jesus was saying, if you look at those Ten Commandments, they fall into two categories. The first four are about loving God, and the last six are about loving your neighbour. And if we follow those commands, it's liberating for us. And if we choose to follow them, we are choosing to follow God. And so it's a very substantial choice that we make today. Very important choice that we choose to follow our Saviour. And John goes on to say that it's overcomers who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now look, sometimes in life we face all types of stuff. My wife and I were talking the other night, and we were saying about a time in our lives when we had nothing and we were hanging on by an edge to pay our mortgage, and we didn't know what to do. You know, sometimes I would go through all the pockets in my trousers in the wardrobe and in my jacket pockets to find a few pennies to go and buy a single pint of milk from the corner shop. And I'm not joking about that. And a lot of you have had times like that as well. You know, there's nothing particularly rare about me. But what I can tell you is that choosing to believe God and walk in his paths have been liberating. And Pauline will tell you the same. It has been the making of our lives. My neighbour said to me yesterday, what's the work you've been having done in the house? I said, oh, well, we've had a new bathroom put in. And when we moved in that house in 1994, it needed a new bathroom. And in 2023, we've done it. And, you know, we've waited a long time. We couldn't do it because we didn't have the money to do it. This year, we have the money to do it, so we've done it. Well, thank God for that. But what I said to my neighbour was this. When I chose to work for the church, I knew that I was choosing a pathway where money might not be always available. But I tell you what, Paul, I said, I wouldn't change a thing. Because we've now got a lovely bathroom, thank God. We've had a shower in it this morning for the first time. My wife said to me, right, I'm going to christen the shower. I said, go on then, I'm in next. You know what? It's wonderful. We appreciate the things that God has been gracious enough to give us, because there have been a long time when we didn't have those things. Well, we thank God for that. But I want you to know that we have overcome so many things in life. We have overcome the loss of our son to cancer, and we have overcome that. You know, some people don't ever overcome. I went to the funeral of one child who died of cancer, and 6 months later I went to a mother's funeral because she topped herself. And you know what? Some people never deal with these things. Some people never get over them. But we're over them. And why? How have we overcome? Because of our belief that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is not now, nor was he ever, just a good teacher. Now, you might say Buddha's a good teacher. My Jesus wasn't a good teacher. He was the Son of God. He was the Saviour of all who call on his name. My Jesus is a different type of person because he is God. He is G, capital G-O-D. My Jesus is God. And that is the Jesus that I have chosen to believe. And that's why life works. And does it mean that sometimes along the way we have to cope with things that are not always ideal? This week, funnily enough, my car had to be booked in for new brake pads. And on the way, the exhaust failed. So it's had new brake pads and new exhaust. On a week in which we've just paid for a lovely new bathroom. And you know what? It's good because there was just enough. And you know, I think of that woman that Elijah... that Elijah ministered to her, and he said, there will be just enough. You go cook a bit for me, and then there'll be just enough for you to cook for your son. And I'll tell you what, you won't run out until the rain comes. And that was a couple of years. And that woman was able to make sure that they were fed. And you know what? That's how we live. That's how we live. There's a man wrote a book. Frank Foglio wrote this book. I must have written it 30, 40 years ago. I read it as a teenager, called Hey God. And in this book, he tells a story of how his mother had nothing. Her husband was working to pay the rent. And this was in New York in the post-war period. No, it was in the Depression. And... her husband brought home his entire work gang from work, and she thought she had just had enough to feed him and maybe her and the kids. And he brought home a houseful. And this little guy, Frank, he was, you know, no bigger, well, smaller than you, Jesse, and he stands there in the kitchen and he hears his mother say, hey God, you better do something about this, because that husband you gave me's brought home a load and we haven't got enough, so you better stretch out this spaghetti sauce. And you know what? She fed 25 people out of that, and there was a bit left over. And you know, that is just as real as feeding 5,000 or feeding 4,000, or feeding however many thousand. It's so fantastic, because when it's in your house, it's a miracle to gasp at. And I'll never forget Frank Foglio for that story. So it's overcomers that believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You might say, well, I don't feel much of an overcomer. Feelings are deceptive. Feelings will confuse you. They will torpedo your life if you allow them. Do not allow your life to be dominated by feelings, but by faith, by the choice to believe in Jesus, who is your Savior, the Son of God. When you believe in the Son of God, you will automatically overcome. It may not happen in a moment. It may not happen at the speed you want it to, but it will happen because it is inevitable. It is like me taking a plastic bag, blowing it full of air, tying a knot in it, and then holding it down in a bath full of water. It is inevitable, if I take my hand away, that it will rush to the top. Why? Because there is a power there that is greater than the power that's on it, than the weight that's on it, than the pressure that's on it. And let me tell you, there is a power in believing in the Son of God that is greater than all of the pressure that is on your life. And if you choose to believe, you will come through the other side. It is inevitable. Have we got an amen in the room? Yes. He goes on to say, without faith we make God out to be a liar. Would you really want to be accused of that on the day of judgment? The finger of God points out, and it points at you, and the voice comes from the throne. You made me out to be a liar. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want that to happen to me. We need to recognize choosing to believe God is actually the only way that works, and we need to do that. Are you with me?
Yes.
With faith, we know this one great truth. We have eternal life. Yeah. Yeah. Now, let's make this very clear. John is writing in the day when it is a capital crime to call Jesus Christ Lord. In the Roman Empire, you may call only Caesar Lord. If you call anyone else Lord, off with your head. Up on a cross, in front of the lions. That's literally the truth. And whereas it varied between different Caesars as to how strongly they enforced it, when John is writing this, which we believe is in the reign of Domitian, Domitian was actually worse than Nero, and we think of Nero as being worse. But these Caesars, they were vicious, and if you didn't confess Caesar as Lord, and when we say Lord, we're saying Lord God, because they believed that Caesar was God. If you didn't do that, you were dead. And what John is saying here is this: but if you choose to believe, if you choose to believe Jesus is God, is Lord, if you choose to believe he is the Son of God, if you choose to believe he is Savior, which is another word that the Romans reserved for Caesar, there are lots of inscriptions you can read, if you can read Latin, that say, Caesar, our Saviour. If we use these words for Jesus, then it meant death. But by faith, we know we have eternal life. And let me make this really clear to you. When you face death on a daily basis, knowing that you have eternal life is all you need. It really is. This is the salvation message of the early church, which we still need to preach, even though somehow we don't quite understand it like they did. We need to realize and recall and remember that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ, God's Son. And let me say this to you. When I was 8 years old, I put my hand up in a service when the pastor said, if you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, put your hand up. And at the end, he marched me out to his office and he prayed with me, and he said to me, Stephen, now you have eternal life. And you know what? As an 8 year old, that really bothered me that I didn't have. Really did. And I am now a little bit older. And I can tell you now, I have never doubted what my pastor told me, because it's in the Word. John told him, and John's told me as well. If you have faith, you have eternal life. It's not the measure of your faith. It's not these people that have got amazing faith. You know these amazing faith people. Pauline and I were once stuck in a lift before we designated which corner. with Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard Bonnke, you'll know his name. A man who has led millions of Africans to Christ. Had a massive impact. And we were stood in a lift, and Pauline and I had often said, what would you say if you had Reinhard Bonnke's attention? And you know what? I couldn't think of a thing to say. But why am I telling you that? Thank you. Oh, thank you for following me, Melody. That's absolutely wonderful. I saw video. I didn't see this in person. I saw a video of Reinhard praying with 20 African men, and you could tell by their eyes that they were blind, you know, white eyes. He went along and he just said, in the name of Jesus, and one by one by one, their eyes went clear. Yes. And 20 perfectly sighted men left the stage that day. He was an amazing guy. I did see him pray for a woman in a wheelchair in Birmingham, and she was in a wheelchair because her heart was so damaged she didn't have the strength to stand. And of course, because she'd been in a wheelchair for a long time, the muscles weren't strong enough to keep her up when she could. And I saw him lay hands on her and tell her to rise up, and she got up. I was also there a year later when he came back for another service, and she was the opening testimony. A woman of great strength and standing who had this fantastic testimony a year ago. Who was here a year ago? People's hands were going up. You saw me when Reinhard prayed for me. You know what? She had a great testimony. She wrote a book. It's in my office now. It's a great book. But why am I telling you this? It's not the Reinhard Bonnkes of this world that get eternal life. It's not the Reinhard Bonnkes of this world that overcome. It's to all who believe. To all who believe. Choose to believe. That doesn't mean there might not be times when that old devil will come and stand by your ear and whisper and say, it doesn't mean you. God doesn't love you because you're a sinner. What Stephen says about you is not true because you're worse. It's all right for Stephen. I'll tell you what, it is all right for me because I've chosen to believe. And if you choose to believe like I've chosen to believe, it'll be all right for you too. You want to tell that devil to shut up and clear off. And tell him to do that in the name of Jesus, and it works every time. Spirit, water and blood. In this passage, John talks to us about three witnesses. He says there are three witnesses: the Spirit, the water and the blood. Now, Jesus Christ, he is the one who came by water and blood, not by water only, but by water and by blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. Now, I ask you, if you were to ask, if I was to say to you, what do you think this means? Has anybody got any suggestions, quickly, what you think it might mean? What's the water, what's the blood, what's it mean? Any guesses? One John is referring to John 19. John 19, which Graham remembered, but one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. Now, you've got to recognize the consistency of this, that blood and water flowed from Jesus. And this is a reference to the redeeming power of the blood of Jesus, the redeeming forgiveness that Jesus provided for us. You see, in the Old Testament, it says, you don't believe any accusation without two or three witnesses. So John actually gives us two witnesses and then adds a third because it's two or three. He's following the poetic of the Old Testament. He's saying, you have two or three witnesses in the Old Testament. Now here, in what I'm writing, you've got two or three witnesses. You've got water and blood. Oh, and you've got the Spirit who testifies. Now the word testify is like the word witness, because when you think about it, if you witness, act as a witness in court, you are testifying, aren't you? So you can see even in English, testify and witness are connected. Now, some of you may remember what I've told you a number of times in the book of Acts, when it says we are his witnesses. What does that word mean, or what is that word? Does anybody remember? That word is martyrs. Witness, martyrs. Yeah. Testify, martyrs. We are his witnesses. We are those who testify about him. And the Holy Spirit is testifying about Jesus. So, in this passage, which may look a bit like, oh, how on earth do I make sense of that? Some people say the water's referring to baptism. And so I put that on the screen because some people do say that. But fundamentally, I think, as Graham does, that it's referring to the redeeming death of Jesus, and the Spirit is the martyria, the testifier, the one who testifies to all of this. Right, you still with me? Right, so believe. Believe the commands. You choose to believe the commands. If God says, love your neighbour as yourself, you have to choose to believe that. And you have to look at your neighbour, who might be a horrible person. You might look at that person and think, I don't want to love you, but God says love them. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, that's probably the easiest thing to do, but we need to do it. Believe that you have eternal life. Depend on this one thing. When this life ends, we will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Yeah? Believe the three witnesses, which are water, blood and spirit. And we are like relay runners. And there's an essence of this in the Greek that John writes, suggesting that the baton of faith is passed on to us. There have been some wonderful people of faith in the past. Reinhardt is no longer with us, but he's passed on the baton. And there are other people that have passed on the baton. And we have to decide to run with it. You know, we really have to choose to run with it. You might say, well, it's all right for you, Stephen, I can't run. Well, that's fine. I'm not much of a runner myself. But I can tell you this. I choose to run by faith. I choose to receive what God's promises are. And we become his witnesses, which we should never forget. For John to use this word, witnesses, is the same as Paul used it, martyrs. To them, being a witness was laying down your life, because many of them did. So, this is confidence. Know that you have eternal life. Have confidence in this. John tells you, have confidence in this. You've got eternal life. You might feel like a piece of something that someone scrapes off the shoe, but you have eternal life, and you should accept that and believe it and hold on to it, because it is revolutionary. Also, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So when we pray for our June in hospital, he hears us. He does. When we pray for Lisa Mosey, he hears us. He does. And we have to believe that. Now listen, this week I have been following the daily updates about Lisa Mosey because I was hanging on God. I'm praying God, after John lost his daughter in the Lockerbie plane, Lord, I pray that you'd save him from losing his wife. Lord, will you please give him some years in that new house that they moved into last Saturday? You know, I've been praying that, and I'm saying, God, please, please. Now, the news this morning is good. But God has heard me, and he's heard many people across this nation who've been praying for her. But God hears us when we pray. This is the confidence we have. We also know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that what we have asked of him is ours. And you know what? Sometimes we ask things from a wrong motive. Don't ask me to explain why God doesn't seem to answer those things. But keep asking for each other. Asking for your brothers and sisters. And when you have to ask for yourself that the mortgage gets paid or the rent gets paid or the alecky gets paid, ask and believe that he will provide. Pray for your brother and sister to overcome sin. Now this is one thing that this John's coming to the end of the passage here, and he's saying, pray for your brothers and sisters that they overcome sin. And he particularly says, if you see him in the act, pray for him. And the truth is, we all goof up sometimes, don't we? When Rocky died, I had a month off work afterwards. And I had to start back on work. And I said to Pauline, oh, grief, with the changed uniform while I've been off, I need to buy some new white shirts. So I went up to Monk's Cross to a shop there, and I bought two new white shirts, and I went home and washed them before wearing them at 30 degrees. And they came out like they were designed for Ken, who's the partner of Barbie. They shrank beyond belief. 30 degree wash. So I went straight back and I said, look at these. These are a size 17 neck. And look at them now, you won't fit a dolly. And the man says to me, well, I'll send them off to the manufacturer and ask them for an opinion. I said, don't be doing that. Give me two new shirts. He said, I can't do that, sir. I will send them off for the manufacturer to comment on. Well, I was furious with him. I dressed him down. I went home without any shirts. And I was up the most of the night praying to God to forgive me for embarrassing him by speaking so out of order to this guy in this shop. Monk's Cross opens at 11, I think, or 10:30, I can't remember which. But I went straight there on the Sunday morning, dropped my wife off at church, went straight to Monk's Cross, and the guy opens the door, lets me in. I said, do you remember me from yesterday? He said, yes, sir, I do. I said, well, I just want to apologise to you. I was way out of line. And please, will you forgive me? And he said, yes, I will. I said, fine, I'll wait for you to call me about my shirts. And he said, hang on a minute, here's two shirts. And I went home with my shirts. And from time to time, I bumped into him in different shops as he's moved on in his career. And I always greet him, and I always still remember the guilt that I felt that day. You know what? Pray for me that I overcome sin. And we need to pray for each other. Yeah? The sin that leads to death. He talks about this. People have worried about this all their lives. What about this? He says, don't pray for them if they've committed the sin that leads to death. Well, what he's talking about here is apostasy. It's a deliberate refusal to believe. And let me tell you why you shouldn't particularly pray for people about that. It's because it's entirely dependent on their free will to turn around and choose again. Will God receive them back? Well, some people say no. I think God's very merciful. But you know what? It isn't your responsibility to pray for them if they have taken a public position against Jesus. It isn't your responsibility. But what is your responsibility is to pray for others that just need a hand with sin. And you should be someone who does that. So don't sweat about this. You haven't done this. You haven't done this deliberate sin. You haven't. Even if you've said things in anger, you haven't done this. Don't worry about that. We just need to recognize that we need to do that which leads to life. God keeps you safe. He actually says this in this chapter. Why does he keep you safe? Well, we're living in a smoke-filled room. You know that if you were in a smoke-filled room, it won't be the fire that kills you, it will be the smoke. You know that, don't you? Well, it's like he puts us in a scuba diving suit and he gives us fresh oxygen. You know, it's like living on Mars. There's no oxygen on Mars. If we ever get to Mars, we have to take oxygen with us. You know, we've got to provide the environment, live in a space suit. It's not a very nice idea, is it? It's not like walking outside on a nice day and having the sun beating down on you. It's not like that. But God wants to protect you. It's an act of faith when you choose to receive his protection. I've walked in rooms and I've said, God, save me in this room. Protect me. I've been with some people. I was once alone in a room with the head of a local mafia group. And I do mean mafia. God protected me. I once had a guy come and attack me in a shop in front of a load of staff, and he thumped me on the nose, and I was fine, but he fell over. You know what? I only had time for one prayer, and it was this: Jesus! That's all I said, and he was on the floor. You know what? God will keep us safe. We may be living in a smoke-filled room, a contaminated environment, but God will keep us. We have to believe. Jesus is God, and this is my last point. He actually closes the epistle with this message: keep yourself from idols. Now, I would suggest to you the idol is referring to is Caesar. You've got to keep yourself from idols. In Russia today, they have a Caesar. His name is Putin. And he demands that people do all but worship him. In our country, we have had some people who've been a bit that way inclined. Boris! There have been a couple of people a bit that way inclined. But do you know what? We must keep our hearts from idols. We must keep our hearts from... When I was growing up, I was the only lad in my class, I think, who didn't have a picture of Farrah Fawcett Majors in his bedroom. And the other one was that picture of that girl playing tennis, walking away from you, that poster. You know that one? You see, Bill had that poster. You know what? We need to keep ourselves away from idols. It doesn't matter if they're sexual idols, if they're musical idols, if they're film idols, if they're political idols. We need to keep our hearts from them and focus on our one God. Because Jesus is Lord. And if we will choose to say that today, then it will be forever true. So today what we've heard faith overcomes, live by faith. We've heard, remember the evidence, water, blood, spirit. We have life, eternal life, and that will keep us. Whatever happens next, we have got eternal life. And we have been told to pray for each other, to remember that we live in an unhealthy environment, and that Jesus is the only God. He's the only God with a big G. And we need to remember that. Will you join with me in declaring the Lordship of Jesus?
Yes.
Come on. Let's stand if you can. I would stand because you've been sat for far too long. Lord Jesus, we confess that you are our Lord. We confess that you are God. We just want to say, Almighty God, that we thank you for your gift of eternal life, that it was free, that we didn't have to do anything for it, but you had to do something for it, and you left us water and blood, and you gave your spirit that we should remember you. Oh, Holy God, thank you so much for the provision of life eternal in Jesus Christ. And today, oh Lord, we honour you, we magnify you, and we pray your blessing on your people as we depart. Almighty God, a touch now on everybody from the back running forwards. Touch them, bless them, be with them forever. Amen.